Well, one of the exciting things about Goodwood is the variety of cars that we get here. And I recall well, before the days of the Mini, the Frog-Eyed Sprite. When this little car appeared, with its 948cc BMC engine, and its frog eyes because they stuck them out of the bonnet, it was almost like a re-education to all of us who had, in those days, got used to TC and TDMGs and MGAs. Now there was a sports car that every young man had a reasonable chance of affording. I had one. I think everybody had one. My sons had them. And they were a fantastic car. But one of the fantastic things about them was that they became an extremely competent competition car. They gave an enormous amount of pleasure, not just to people who wanted to drive a sports car, but people who wanted to race a sports car. And they come in various varieties. Now, one of the people who was involved in this right from the very start, in modifying Sprites, in racing Sprites, was a man called John Sprinzel. And I've been standing out here talking to a couple of blokes, and suddenly I see this other chap standing by them, and I thought, I know him. I haven't seen him since God was a boy. He knew him well, too. John, welcome to Goodwood.
Thank you. Delighted to be here. Absolutely delighted.
Now, tell me about some of the Sprinzel Sprites that are here and about the history of the Sprinzel Sprites.
Well, I was a works driver in 1958 for BMC, and they, just before the Sprite came out, they loaned me one to prepare, because they liked to see different people prepare the cars to see the different approaches for competition. And I had a firm called Speedwell Conversions, with Graham Hill working as the chief mechanic. So we had a good old go at this car and took it on the Alpine Rally and won the class. And so we had one of the first successes. And my friend here's father won the first British event with one. So they had a really good inaugural. And we then went on to build our versions of it. First, I did it with Speedwell. We built the Speedwell GT, of which there are two in the Ford Water Trophy. And then I went to Healey's and we designed the Sebring Sprite, which actually did race at Sebring. Stirling Moss drove one of mine, and that car is here today and he's driving it. And I actually raced the same car in the 1960 Ford Water Trophy, which is the race today. So we do have quite a connection with Goodwood and with Sprites in this particular event.
Well, one of the other things that we have a slight connection there, we both actually quite like ladies. And you have some very fine lady drivers. You had a lady also called Moss.
Yes, Pat Moss was in the team. One of the things, those of us who drove in 58, 59 times, nobody ever said anything about lady drivers as a joke, because we had Nancy Mitchell, we had Anne Hall, we had Pat Moss, all of whom were capable of and did win events. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the women were just as good as the men, and particularly on stamina. I don't know quite why, but they didn't look half as tired at the end of a three-day rally as the men did, and they certainly didn't smell as bad either.
Well, Pat certainly could take the men on and beat them in things like Liège, Rome, Liège with a 3000 Austin Healey, let alone the Sprite. But she also, of course, drove one at Sebring, I seem to recall.
Yes, she drove. That car is here today as well, in the same race, one of the Sebring Sprites. It's the only time Pat and Stirling drove together. Was in my cars in Sebring in 1960, and this is the first time they've appeared together on a racetrack since, 45 years later.
Well, before we move on to other Sprites, I've got to ask you one other lady driver who I haven't seen for many years, but she does go to Silverstone from time to time, and that, of course, is the great Christabel Carlisle.
Oh, Christabel, yes. Now, she has a history of Sprites because she did race them, and she did the Monte Carlo Rally with me in a Sebring, in this same car. So it was her first ever rally, and she was a little bit surprised by it all, I have to tell you. When you're doing whatever it is on icy roads down in the south, in the Alps, on snow and ice in a Sprite, which is far more sideways than it ever was straight. And at the end of it, she was actually quite into it. And the following year, she did it with Timo Mäkinen in a Healey 3000, and she was telling him to go faster. So there is one courageous little lady.
Well, she was, and just to finish the story off, I was talking to a racing driver the other day who'd been karting with his son, and I said, how did he go? He said, he's got no fear. I think that would describe her.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And not only that, even now at the age of whatever it is, we don't tell ladies' ages, she's walked the length of Britain from Land's End to John O'Groats, not on the roads, but on the mountain tracks for charity. And she's also walked the entire length of Spain and France on those pilgrim trails for raising money for a university. So this is one tough lady.
I walked to the studio today, that was enough for me. We talked about this, and we talked about Sprites and other people with Sprites, and about the man who won one of the first races with a Sprite, and his name was Douglas Wilson Spratt. Right now, if he's got any sense at all, he'd be sitting in bed, drinking his cup of tea, hoping for a fried English breakfast, while his son sweats it out here with the Wisms. If you've seen a GTO Ferrari, to me, they were one of the most beautiful cars that was ever built. And Douglas set off and built his own cars. And Tony is driving one of the very rare, I think it's unique, MGB engine versions. So let's talk to Tony about the Wisms. Tony, welcome back to Goodwood, because you've been before, but how many have you got here?
We've got six here this year, if you count BXN, which is the prototype that Paul here owns. We call it the Sebring, if you like, because Peter Jackson, when he had it in 61 and had a bit of a moment with it, wanted it rebodied, and Dad put some design input into it, and they took it to Peel's and had the body done, and that's the result.
And then it moved on, and there were more than one, and they were nearly all of the cars that were built were, of course, based on the Sprite.
Except for the one midget, of course, there's always that oddity. And again, Paul Woolmer here had WSM 202, which is the midget version, that was thus badged because my brother-in-law, Mike Lewis, was an ardent MG fan. So that was the one midget version of the range, if you like. But he produced about 10 or 11, and we've got four of that variation here today. In 2003, we had a couple, and we thought we were blessed then, but... And we had three in 2003, actually, Paul's correcting me on that. But having five of the Sprite versions and the MGB here today is, well, it's something absolutely fabulous. And of course, Dad's here to see it as well. So yeah, it's fantastic.
How many did you build all together?
11 of the Sprite versions, one MGB, one on a Healey 3000. And he did an estate design, if you like, on the Jaguar XK 140, 150. And they're all still around. We know where they all are. We keep in touch with them around the world. And we're looking forward to seeing them at sort of events like this and catching up with them.
More prolific with his cars than he was with his children, because I think there are only two of you, isn't there?
Me and the elder sister. In fact, John Spindle was talking before about the ladies, and we remember one anecdote that... I think it was Silverstone in about 62 when I was about knee-high and John seemed about 10 foot tall in those days. But I never obviously attracted a lot of attention. But my blonde sister, who was 5 foot 10 and pretty glamorous, I was told at the time, everybody you seem to talk to, including John, always remembers my sister, but never unfortunately me.
One of those things. Paul Woolmer, I understand you're the man to talk to about Sprites, because and their various guises, be it Sprinzel, be it Wisms, anything else. How many people had a go at this?
Oh gosh. Well, I'm a historic cars registrar for the Austin Healey Club. So I've got a register of just about every historic X Works competition Healey that there is in both Europe and in the world. And just to say that on the WSM side, every WSM that's turning a wheel in Europe at the moment is here this weekend, which is pretty spectacular. But in terms of the people who were doing them in period, there were lots of privateers who jumped on the back of what John and Douglas and the guys at Speedwell were doing, and just did their own thing. And there are a couple of those cars here this weekend as well. Notably, a gentleman called Jack Wheeler, who bought an X-Works car in 1960 from the Donald Healey Motor Company and still has it. And he's not driving it, unfortunately, this weekend, but his co-driver back in the 60s is driving it this weekend. So
tremendous history. I've got to say this, and I mean, I'm going to ask each of you in turn. These were superb cars. I know a lot of the Sprinzel modifications, the Speedwell modifications, found their way into production, John. But if you look at them and you look at the lines of the car, would you agree with me that the Wisms were absolutely beautiful cars to look at? Why in the name of God in heaven didn't the Austin Motor Company, Austin Healey, BMC, look at these and think, well, hang on, if we're going to make a Mark 1, a Mark 2, a Mark 3, why the devil didn't they look at those bodies?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I worked for Donald Healey, as you know, and he showed me the drawings of the Mark 2, which was, I think, a step downwards, because it was twice as heavy and it had all these bits of tin at the front, separate wings, and it was very weird. And I took these to Williams and Pritchard, who were the bodybuilders who used to do stuff for Van Wall, for Lotus, well, for anybody who was racing in those days, and they did the Speedwell as well. And they built me from the drawings I had done from the prototype that Donald showed me, Al Sebring's front. And I think ours turned out slightly better than the one the factory did. So why couldn't they have done it? It doesn't cost any more for beauty than it does for ugliness, does it? I mean, you make the same car, the price is the same, you still employ the same designers. But one thing I will say that always amuses me, we built 7 Sebrings and 30 of them are still around today.
Well, that's a story, a bit like ERAs and Maserati 250Fs, isn't it? You know, I'm sure agree with that the Wisms were, to my mind, without any question, a beautiful car to look at.
I'm biased, of course, but yeah, I've got to agree with you guys. To me, they are almost an art form. From the outside, from most angles, they are just, to me, a car to die for.
Well, the only thing we can do now is go back to the man for the register. Paul?
Well, yeah, like Tony, I'm totally biased, so I'd rather have a Sebring than anything else. But, of course, in those days, BMC were producing convertibles, and that's what they looked for in sports cars. And, of course, all of our cars are coupes, which isn't really what I guess they perceived the general public wanted. But as a competition car, maybe they were wrong.
Fred, does Fred belong to you?
Yes.
I thought he might do.
This is my son, Richard.
Richard, oh, well, you told me to call him Fred.
His wife doesn't want
Oh, it's his wife. Do you sort of like these sprites and spritzes?
I love them to bits, I really do.
You're going to get one when you grow up a bit bigger?
I hope so.
I think on that basis, Paul Woolmer, John Sprinzel, Tony Wilson-Spratt, thank you very much.